It was March 23rd, 1775. It was the second Revolutionary Convention meeting in Richmond, Virginia. The colonies were debating whether they were going to remain subject to England or declare their independence. A tall, gangly lawyer from Virginia rose to speak for independence. I don't have time to read you his whole speech, but I want you to listen to the end of it. He said, "Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat it, sir, let it come. It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. But there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Every great cause has leaders. So it was in the American Revolution. Thomas Jefferson was called the philosopher of the Revolution. Samuel Adams was the political organizer. George Washington was the military genius. And the lawyer who made this speech, the speech that lit the fires of revolution so never to be put out, was the orator of the revolution, Patrick Henry. If you go back and you read his biography, you'll find that Patrick Henry was a man of simple faith. He was a member of the Protestant Episcopal Church, and his influence was always guided by his religion. He wrote this in his will: "I have disposed of all my property to my family. There's one thing more that I wish I could give to them. That is the Christian religion. If they had that and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that and I have given them the world, they would be poor." Saturday is the 4th of July, our Independence Day. The 223rd birthday of the nation that Patrick Henry sparked to life. And I'm grateful and thank God that we have had men in our history, men who have said that freedom is more important than life, that freedom is more important than property, that freedom is more important than reputation, who were willing to say, like Patrick Henry, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." In a spiritual sense, those are the only two choices we have. There is no other choice in a spiritual sense than those two that Patrick Henry spelled out for a nation. The text verse that we're using this morning is John chapter 8, verse 34. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And then verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And so, from a spiritual standpoint, we only have two choices. We have the choice of death, or we have the choice of freedom. Now, I want to illustrate that this morning. Matthew, would you come up and help me? You haven't helped me for a long time. Come on up here for a second, if you would. And then, let's see, Brother Jeff, would you come up and help me? And DJ, you come up and help me, okay? And then, Brother Leonard, Thim, you be on standby. Okay, come on up here, guys. All right? All right. Brother Jeff, see, Matthew, you stand right here behind me. DJ, you stand there, and Brother Jeff, you stand over there. Okay? You know, I learned to preach in junior church, and I can't go very long without preaching an illustrated message. And so just I hope you enjoy it this morning. We're going to let Matthew represent all of us, all right? Human beings, people that have a soul, all right? Now, DJ is going to represent Matthew's conscience, all right? There is a conscience in all of us that was developed by our parents, by those in our lives who taught us the difference between right and wrong, and that conscience tries to guide us to do right. Now, we're going to let Brother Jeff represent the devil this morning.
He knew that was coming.
He knew that was coming. But he's going to represent the devil this morning. Now, there is a fight going on for Matthew's soul. You see, the devil wants Matthew, and God wants Matthew. We're going to bring God up here in just a minute, the Holy Spirit. That's you, Brother Leonard, so get ready. All right? So, Matthew is being pulled by his sin nature toward wrong. You guys are getting ahead of me. Hang on a second. All right? You see, every single one of us is born, every single one of us that has a human father is born with a sin nature. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That one man that is talking about in that verse is Adam. And Adam, in the Garden of Eden, when he decided to commit sin, and by the way, the Bible says that Eve was deceived by Satan, but Adam knew what he was doing. When he ate that fruit, he knew exactly that he was disobeying God. And sin, that's what sin is in its simplest sense. It's just disobeying God. And so when Matthew was born, he was born with a sin nature, a nature that is pulling him, okay, now, is pulling him to do wrong. Now, here's his conscience. All right, this is what his mom and his dad have tried to put into him over the, how old are you?
15.
Over the 15 years that he's been around. All right, they've tried to pound into his head to do right. Right, Amy? To do right. Mark's tried to pound in his head, you know, be honest, tell the truth, all the good stuff that a dad tries to tell his son. And this is the conscience that has resulted from that. The conscience that says, when the devil pulls him in that way, you know, says, and grab a hold of him, and says, don't go that way. But the conscience is no match for Satan, all right? I mean, keep pulling. Come on, you can come along with us. But see, here's what happens. The conscience is trying to tell him all the time, hey, you're not doing right, you're not doing right. But he has no power over his soul. He can only try to talk to it and influence. But the Bible says when we sin, we become the slave of sin. We become the servant of sin, the slave of sin. And so sin wraps us up and got us, and we are caught in its chains, and we are the servant of sin. All right? So sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And so, without God's intervention, what Matthew represents for all of us is we are a slave of sin, which will result in our spiritual death. Now, many times sin results in physical death, where a person's soul is separated from their body. And if you ever come to a funeral that I preach, I tell the people there, you know, we see physical death, but the person we knew is not dead. That person is alive one of two places, either in heaven or hell. A person apart from God, when they die physically, is when their soul is separated from their body. When they die spiritually, it's when their soul is separated from God. And sin does that. You see, all of us were made to fellowship with God. We were made to be part of His family. I mean, He wants to be our Father. He wants that relationship with us. But sin, when it comes, it messes it up. It destroys that relationship. But God didn't leave us in that condition. In Romans chapter 5, come on up, Brother Leonard, the Bible says, "Therefore, as by the offenses of one, judgment came on all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, the gift of freedom." You guys stay out of my preaching. That's the trouble I have when I try to do one of these. They always want to get into the act. Let me start over. Therefore, as by the offenses of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That was the offense of Adam when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift, the gift of freedom, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When Adam sinned in the garden, or in the Garden of Eden, when he disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, he pulled all of mankind into sin. We were given a sin nature. And left to our own devices, we will respond to that sin nature, and one day we will sin. We will do just like Adam did. We will know the difference between right and wrong, and we will choose wrong. And that sin makes us a sinner. You've heard me say before, you don't have to commit 1,000 sins to be a sinner. You don't got to commit 100 sins to be a sinner. The Bible says one sin makes us a sinner, because it says in James chapter 2, if we keep the law in all points and yet offend in one, we are guilty of all. We talked about the Ten Commandments in Sunday school this morning. The first one, have no other gods before me. And I tried to explain to Jameson and Darren, anything we put before God, anything we put before God, like a car or money or even something good like your family, anything that you put first place in your life before God, you have broken the first of the Ten Commandments. Have no other gods before me. Jesus said the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. He wants nothing between him and us. He wants to have that first place in our life. And I know sometimes, grandparents, we got to struggle. Because we love our grandkids and we make them important in our life. But God says, you listen to me, you do not put your grandkids, I'll preach to myself for a while and to Kate on the back row, but you do not put your grandkids in front of me. Your grandkids are important and you love them with all your heart and your soul, but you love God more. And I'll tell you what, we will love our grandkids if we love our God. And they see that we love our God. But we were born with that sin nature. And left to our own devices, we are going to gravitate towards sin. And we are going to sin. And we are going to become a sinner. And we're going to become the slave of that sin. And it binds us up. And there's nothing that we can do on our own to break that bondage. And so the disobedience of one, the disobedience of Adam, led to that. But the obedience of one, the Bible says, leads to righteousness. And that obedience of one that it's talking about there is the obedience of Jesus Christ when he obeyed the Father and went to the cross. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And on the cross, when he died, not for any sin that he committed, but when he died on that cross, God heaped on him every one of our sins. And when he hung on that cross, the 3 hours, when the sun refused to shine, and when God the Father turned his back on God the Son, and they were separated, he was paying the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Again, not physical death, but spiritual death, to be separated from God. And when God the Father, when Jesus hung on the cross, turned his back on his Son, Jesus suffered our death for us. He paid the price for our sin. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Matthew has a choice. Praise God, he's already made this choice. I know. He's already made this choice. But he has a choice, and he represents every single one of us. He can go ahead and continue to be the slave of sin, or he can receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. And by receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior, he is free from the slavery of sin. And the Holy Spirit, who Brother Leonard represents, the Holy Spirit moves into his life. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is a whole lot bigger than the puny conscience. And no offense, DJ. But the Holy Spirit is a whole lot bigger than the little consciences that we have. And so Matthew can decide. He can decide, am I going to stay a slave of sin, or am I going to ask Jesus to be my Savior and get the Holy Spirit who will free me from that sin? Now, grab a hold of him, Brother Jeff. DJ, grab a hold of him. Holy Spirit, grab a hold of him. I want you to pull with all... No. Just imagine it in your mind. I don't want to have any accidents here. Okay, thank you guys. You can go and sit down. But here's the point. When you got the Holy Spirit on your side, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit is a whole lot bigger than Matt's conscience, but the Holy Spirit is a whole lot more powerful than the devil. Than the devil. And so when we choose that freedom, we get freedom from sin in three ways. Number one, we get freedom from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's what we earn for being a sinner. It's what we deserve. Again, it's not physical death, it's spiritual death. It's being separated from God. That's the wage of sin. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are free and saved from that penalty. I mean, we can still choose to sin, but once we ask Jesus to be our Savior, all our sins were paid for, covered by the blood. That's why the psalmist said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute wickedness, or not impute sin. I think not impute sin. And what the psalmist was saying is, once you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, God will put no more sins on your record. I mean, he can't, because they've all been paid for. Jesus paid for everyone. And I know there's some people say, well, yeah. I don't agree with you Baptist. You believe that once saved, always saved, and that gives you the license to do anything you want. God forbid! That's what Paul said. Should I continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, no way. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about and what the point is and what you need to know and rest in is that once you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, there is no other sin that will be added to your record. And when God looks at your record in heaven, he sees a record that is free from all sin. He sees a record that has the righteousness of Christ on it. I am dressed in the righteousness of Christ when I stand before God. He does not see my sin. He does not see your sin if you know Jesus as your Savior. He sees the goodness, the rightness of his Son. And so I am free from the penalty of sin. You know, we have double jeopardy in our law, and most of our law is based on a law in the Bible. And what double jeopardy means is you will not pay for the same crime twice. It's against the law. You won't do it. You won't do it. If Angie is in a hurry and she's out driving, I probably should. Well, I'll use her anyway. And she's out driving. She's in a hurry. And she puts the metal to the pedal, her pedal to the metal, and puts it all the way to the floor. And a policeman stops her. She's going to get a ticket. Now, Nick finds out about it. He loves her so much. He sneaks into court and said, I want to pay my wife's ticket. Fine, we'll take your money. She goes in the next day. Well, I'm here to pay my ticket. What the court will say, sorry, somebody's already paid it for you. She said, oh, no, you don't understand. I got a ticket. I need to pay for it. The court said, sorry, it's already been paid for. We can't take your money. It's already been paid for. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He paid for our sin. Don't you think that you cannot pay him back? You cannot pay what you don't owe. I mean, the price has already been paid when he on the cross says, it is finished, what he was saying. There's nothing else that needs to be added to it. I paid the whole price. Jesus paid it all. And there's nothing that we need to add to it. And so when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, he paid the penalty for our sin, and we are free from that penalty. We have the freedom to go to heaven. Huh? We have heaven. to look forward to. Because that's where God is. That's where God is. You know, that's what makes hell, hell. It's not the fire. It's not the bottomless pit. It's not the worm that dieth not and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. What makes hell, hell is God is not there. What makes heaven, heaven is not the golden street. No pain, no night. I mean, that's all good stuff. But what makes heaven, heaven is that God is there. And so we get, when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, we are free from the penalty of sin. Number two, we are free from the power of sin. I've heard many Christians say, the devil made me do it. When they're caught in some sin, and they're trying to rationalize and explain it, they said, it wasn't me. The devil made me do it. I want to tell you something this morning. If you're a Christian, the devil can't make you do nothing. Can't. I mean, you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is greater than the devil, more powerful than the devil. The Holy Spirit is part of God, and God's omnipotent. It means he can do anything. And so when we as Christians sin, it's because we decide to sin. Huh? Yeah, I know sometimes we may get caught up in accidental sin, but that's the minority of the time. Most of the time when we sin, it's because we choose to. Because Satan has no longer has power over us. We are free from that bondage of sin. I mean, we decide how we're going to live our lives. That's what freedom is. Freedom is being able to make a choice. Freedom is being able to decide for yourself. Hey, when Matthew was wrapped up with Satan, he couldn't make a choice. I mean, he was a slave of that sin. He couldn't break free by himself. But when he asked Jesus to be his Savior, he had the Holy Spirit. And I've told this story before. It's like the guy was talking to an old Indian, talking about this battle that goes on inside a person to do right and to wrong. And the old Indian described it. He said, oh, yeah, yeah. He said, I know exactly what you mean. I got living inside of me a black dog and a white dog. And the black dog is always trying to get me to do wrong, always trying to get me to disobey God. And the white dog always trying to get me to do right and obey God. And the guy that was talking to him said, well, which one of those dogs win? And the old Indian says, whichever one I say sick them to. And that's the way it works in our life. Whichever power we say sick them to is the one that wins. We have freedom from the power of sin, because Satan cannot make us do anything. And then number three, my last point. One of these days, we're going to be free from the presence of sin. We're not now. We have to live in this world. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of the power of this world. And we can see it every day, how sin just is getting more and more, more and more. We have to live among it. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Part of his job is to help us as we live in this sinful world not to fall into sin. Paul even said, he said, I know what to do. I know right, and I know wrong. But he says, the things I know to do, I don't do. And the things I know to not do, I do. He said, I'm just in this battle. And we all are, because we're still surrounded by sin. But one day, either by way of the rapture or by way of death, we're going to go to a place where there is no sin. Huh? No sin. In heaven, there will be no other gods before God. In heaven, there will be no idols. In heaven, nobody will take the name of the Lord in vain. I don't think we'll have to remember the Sabbath in heaven, because there's no day or night, no day, so it'll be the Sabbath all the time. And so I guess we can remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, because it'll be a constant Sabbath. And I could go down the other six, but I won't for sake of time. There will be no sin in heaven. And one of these days, we will be delivered from the presence of sin. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty, or give me death. In a spiritual sense, that's the only two choices that you have. You will choose to reject Christ and remain the slave of sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Or you can have the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us. The freedom that lets us make our own choices. The freedom that lets us choose heaven. The freedom that lets us choose Him. So, you are a free people today. You not only live in a free country, but you live in a system that God has set up where you can choose Him or reject Him. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you have to do that today. Say, well, I'm not ready to decide. Well, not to decide for Him is to decide against Him. Putting it off is just the same as making this decision to reject Him. He died for you. He offers you the freedom that salvation brings. You can choose it this morning if you never have. You can choose it. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better Sunday than the Sunday before the 4th of July to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're here and you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about something in your life, you have the freedom to come and say, God, I need your help. I can't do it on my own. I got to have help. And the Bible says He'll help us. The Bible says there's no temptation given that's not common to man, that He doesn't provide a way of escape. He'll give us a way out. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved, never baptized. You know, being obedient to God would be coming and say, hey, preacher, I need to be baptized. Maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit's talking to you about joining the church. I would just ask you this morning, exercise the freedom that you have to choose right, to choose to obey God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time we've spent in your word. Thank you for that freedom that we have, not only in this country, because there were men like Patrick Henry that were willing to stand and fight for it, but thank you for the freedom that we have in you, because Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die in our place. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that today would be the day that they come. They realize that they're a sinner, and the penalty for that sin is death, but Jesus paid their price for them. And if they come and just ask Him, He'd save them. I pray, Father, every person that doesn't know Christ would do that this morning. Speak to Christians that are here. If there's something that we need to do, help us to do it. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.